If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, I am joined by the editor of The Penny Hoarder, Justin Kuppler. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Hi, thank you for having me.
If you turn on any television show and it's the money shows and they all say, hey, just put $1,000 into that emergency fund and then you've got to have your 3 to 6 month savings and you can have that done lickety-split. Well, for those of us that don't make but $20,000, $25,000 a year or even less in many cases, you don't have $1,000 right off the bat that you can put in for emergency savings. You have, I think you also have your own story. You've lived through this where you were in debt, but you, in the meantime, have come up with a way for people to just very slowly put a few pennies away at a time. But if you're patient with it, you will see it grow and you will get to that $1,000 faster than you think you will.
Absolutely. What you need to do is really got to break it down. A lot of people think, yeah, I'll just take that $1,000 and stick it in there. And like you said, when you're making not much money, that's very difficult to do. It sounds easy at first, but it's really hard. So what you have to do is kind of break this down to a month by month, penny by penny type of thing. Like say month one, the first month, you know, first things first, make yourself a budget. Make a budget, trim the fat wherever you can. If you find some things in your budget that are kind of pushing the limit and you're thinking you trim that back, a little bit to bring it down to your baseline budget of what's going to pay your expenses and still have a little bit of money for a little fun stuff here and there.
Yeah, I like to, not to interrupt, sorry, but I like to call it my allocated expenses, because sometimes people hear the word budget and it's like a diet. And how long do people really stay on a diet? If you think about, most people know about how much money they're going to make in each paycheck. They know their hourly wage. They know how many hours they're scheduled on their shift. So they know approximately how much money they're going to have in each paycheck. So if you know that and you say, okay, I'm going to bring home $500 in this paycheck, you allocate that to your rent, to your groceries, to how much gas you needed in your car to get to work so you can have the job, or maybe for the bus pass, things like that.
Absolutely. And one of the key things that I talk about when making this budget or your allocated expenses there is to make sure that you are calculating in a little something for yourself, because just like a diet, you have to have those cheat days. You have to have that day here and there where you go out and you spend a little bit of money, have a little bit of fun. That's how those things fail, is when you just stick to the business, stick to the numbers. That's kind of the way you fail, is just doing it that way. So giving a little bit extra here and there just for yourself to have some fun is a great way to keep it flexible and keep it still entertaining for yourself.
Before the show started, we were talking a little bit, and you had your own financial struggles. So how did you turn around being in debt and then getting on this, you know, allocating your expenses, but then also allowing yourself to have that, okay, I'm going to take out $10 this month, or maybe just this paycheck to go to a movie. How did you change that around?
The first thing was almost sheer embarrassment, to be honest with you. My credit score was extremely low, and I had $10,000 worth of debt. I was contemplating bankruptcy, and I just had to dig deep and say, you know, I don't want this 7-year mark on my record. Let me see what I can do. So what I really started doing was just side hustling. I already had a full-time job, but I went in, I dug deep and found other jobs I can do to make a little bit of extra money. And like I said, I made that budget where I could trim it down to just the bare necessities. And I left myself about $150 per month of just play money, things I could go out and have fun with my wife and my son at the time. That's really how we did it. We hunkered down and said, we need to do this now. And I ran through it just like that.
So you said you left yourself $150 every month for play money, but how much of the other money was set aside for a savings to get to that $1,000 that everybody should have in case there's an emergency, like you need a new set of tires, or, you know, your air conditioning goes out, or, you know, something like that, you have a big fix going on. How much money did you set aside each month to put in for your savings?
Let's say that's a staggered approach, because when you live in paycheck to paycheck, you have to take it in baby steps. So, you know, say month one, what I do is I take $5 a month one, or I'd open up an account. We actually, there's an account out there called Aspiration. They'll actually give you $5 for opening it. You take that $5, you tuck it into account for that month. That's your savings for that month. That's your start. It seems small right now, but that's going to get you really moving in the future. The next month, what you want to do is, find ways to make a little bit of extra money. Things like side gigs, like Shop Tracker, things like that, that'll give you $3 just for signing up, and you earn $3 every single month that it's installed. Or even a site like Paribus that'll go through all your purchases you've made and find out where there's some extra money you could have saved. It'll actually go in and get refunds for you and deposit that into an account.
Really?
You
wait.
Take that money and
Sorry. You can actually get money back because you spent too much somewhere? Go back to that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I kind of ran through that, didn't I?
Yeah,
what you do is... Paribus, what it does is scans your email for all the purchases you've made, and if it finds an item that you purchased but paid too much for, say it's cheaper now on that site or cheaper from another site, it'll actually go back to that site and see that site has one of the price guarantees, and if it does have a price guarantee, which so many sites do nowadays, they'll actually give you that refund back.
So it does the work for you. You don't have to worry about researching everything, trying to find the best deal. You just buy something and then ask Paribus to go back and get the best deal for you?
Exactly. It automatically does. You don't even have to ask. It just goes in and scans your email periodically and finds you those discounts.
We've opened up an account. We've got $5. We are also getting this Paribus to help us get refunds for stuff that we normally purchase, but maybe we paid a bit too much for. Now we've gotten up to $15 or $20. After a couple of months, maybe we're up to $15 or $20 in our savings. What's the next step to build our savings account even more?
Next step, in month three, you want to try to get another $35 tucked in that account. You can do this in a bunch of different ways. One of my favorite ways is just selling things that I don't need. We all have a whole bunch of stuff sitting around the house that we don't need. They're just taking up space. You can use sites like Let Go or Declutter to sell everything. Let Go allows you to sell whatever you want. And a site like Declutter focuses on CDs, DVDs, Blu-rays, video games, technology like Xboxes and cell phones, things like that. And you just log on. You put in the items you have for sale, and it'll take these items and give you some cash back. And also, you get a clearer house.
Does it have to be new? Okay, so here's my deep, dark secret, okay? I use my cell phones for 10 years until the cell phone company says, we are not supporting that phone anymore. You have to get a new one. So I have cell phones at the flip top. Is this site going to give me money for something that old?
Something that old, you may be best going with one of the sites like Let Go or eBay, because people, believe it or not, will actually collect those sorts of phones. Declutter isn't going to take, probably not going to take something that old, but it's always worth checking. If a phone has a collectible value, they may still buy it back from you. But you may have to go to a site like Let Go, maybe eBay or something like that, to sell one of those older phones.
Okay. And what about... I have a bunch of games, vintage games for like 1974 Password. Do you remember that old game with Alan Funt and or Alan somebody? He was married to Betty White. And he used to host this game called Password. So then they came out with the version that you could play at home. And I have that original version from my parents. Is that something I could sell on Declutter?
Probably not on Declutter. Again, that would be something more like Let Go or eBay, because that seems like it's more of a collector item. I mean, you'll probably get a lot more value from those sites, too, because it's going to hone in on those people who collect those items.
Oh, okay. Well, we have to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to move in again. So I think we were on like month three on our savings account here. So when we come back, we'll go back to the months and figure out how much more money we can save to get to our $1,000 emergency savings fund. And we'll be right back with Justin Kepler.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are talking about how to build your $1,000 emergency savings fund if you are living paycheck to paycheck. You know, everybody, I think, knows out there you've got to have $1,000 as a backup in case something really bad happens to you. But if you are that paycheck to paycheck person, you're living hand to mouth, that is easier said than done. And joining me is Justin Kuppler. He's the editor of The Penny Hoarder. And we've been going through how you can just put, like the first month, just put $5 aside, or what was it? You said there are some accounts you open it up and they just automatically give you the $5 just to open that account. So that's kind of nice. That's free money right there.
Yeah, it's like Aspiration, they have their Summit checking account. They'll give you $5 just for opening it.
Nice. I like that. Okay. So we've talked about selling things on the internet, let it go and declutter. You can get a little bit of money for items that you just don't use anymore, that just take up space in your house. And you put that money into your savings. Now you're up to, what are we up to? Maybe 50 or 75 bucks into our account after a few months?
Yeah, we're at 40, 50. Yeah, we're about $55 right now.
All right. So as we continue to declutter our house and get a little bit of money there, now I'm kind of running out of things to sell. So what's the next step?
So now we're going to start working on some side gig stuff. This is the fun part. So we're still in month three. We're still trying to get that $35 in the account. And you can help boost that by using sites like MyPoints or VIP Voice. These are research companies. What they do is they take your feedback, you take surveys, give them feedback on companies, on products and things like that, and they'll pay you about $3 to $4 for about a 20-minute long survey.
Okay, now I've heard of these, and some of them, they don't either pay out or they seem to be scams, or you don't actually get the money you say you're going to. So how do you know which sites will actually pay you and that's worth your time to do that?
That is a very good question, because there are tons of those sites out there. What I always suggest is check out what we have on thepennyhoarder.com, because we check and we vet every site that offers these things and make sure that they are legit and they are offering pure cash or at least something of value for you.
And sometimes it's not just cash. They maybe give you a gift card, something like that, or if you acquire enough points, then you can trade it in for something that they're selling on their site as well?
Yeah, there are ones like that, but the thing we have to remember is those things are always worth some cash. So if you might get a gift card, you can take that gift card and turn around and sell it on a site like Raise or something like that and get the cash back for the gift card. If they give you a product that you can sell, you can turn around and sell that product and get that cash back and put that in your account.
Okay. All right. So So let's say we get $3, $4 for every 20 minutes that we're doing a survey. And after a few weeks, we've got maybe $25 to $30 in our account. So that brings us up to, what are we at like $80 then?
Right now we're $55 because we're still in month three.
Oh, okay.
But now we're moving up to month four. Month four is where we start adding passive income. This is where the internet kind of starts working for you instead of you doing all the work. What we suggest is people sign up for something like Smart Panel. Smart Panel, you put it on your cell phone, you can put it on your computer, you can put it on your tablet. And what it does is it actually watches what you do on the internet. It checks out what you're doing on the internet, what site you're going to, what you're buying, what you're visiting, and uses that data as research for other companies. And they pay you each and every month for leaving it installed on your items, on your tablet or whatever technology you're using. It pays you $5 per month. You get $5 after 90 days, another $10 after 6 months, $15 after 9 months, and then $15 every quarter after that, on top of that $5 per month that you're already getting. So you can make about $110 in the first year just for leaving this thing installed on your computer or your tablet or your phone.
Okay. But you have to be one of those people who's okay with having third-party eyes looking at your stuff.
Yeah, that is one of the caveats here, is you do have to be open to allowing this to look at what you're looking at and what you're surfing on the internet.
But it might, even if you have a little bit of qualms, at least you know that you're going to have $110 at the end of the year that you wouldn't have had. And if you are really, really fighting the pennies, you're just, it's hard for you. That might be just, you have to swallow your pride for a year at least and go, okay.
Yeah, and that's 1/10 of your savings. That's a pretty big chunk there. So if you can bite the bullet and deal with that for a year, it's a great investment.
Okay, great. All right. So now this is that first month we were talking about where you opened a savings account and gave you $5. Then we're just building on top of that from there. So then the second month you're going to put in an additional $35. And the third month we're talking about an additional $55. Right?
Actually, we're at the first month, you're $5.
Right.
Month two, you're at $15 more in there. and month three, you're dumping another $35 in there.
Right. So that all accumulates toward our $1,000.
Exactly.
Okay. I just want, so everybody knows where we're at here. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So month four, now the internet is working for us because we've put on this software, the smart panel, and it's going to start paying us money just to watch what we do.
Yeah, now you're going to get just that automatic $5 every month and your bonuses that I mentioned. Now, we're moving into month five. This month, you want to push that savings. This is going to be tough, but you got to push that savings up to $100 in month five.
I'm putting in an additional $100. That's what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we want to push that savings for the month to $100. So you're adding $100 on top of what you already have.
So
this may sound like quite the jump.
Yeah.
But there is a way to do this. Myself and our founder, Kyle Taylor, we both have done this and it does work. It's doing mystery shopping. They actually pay you to go out and shop. What I did grocery stores. I went to various grocery stores and I would just go out and buy about $10 worth of products. And then they would not only give me the $10 back for the products I bought, but they'd pay me an additional $9 on top of it. It would only take me a few minutes to handle that entire process. Between going there, shopping, asking the questions I had to ask to the various employees, and finishing my transaction. It was only maybe 30 minutes worth of time. Had it not been for my kids, of course. My kids were with me, so they kind of bogged me down a bit.
Right.
But if you're single and you go out there to do it by yourself, it's about a 30-minute long process.
Do you get to choose the products you buy, or the company that you're mystery shopping for tells you, I need you to go buy this?
It varies. It could be both. The one I did, I was able to buy whatever I wanted. So my wife and I are pretty heavy couponers, but one thing there's never any coupons for is organic milk, and my wife loves organic milk. So we used this to buy our organic milk, and then what we did was use coupons on top of it, so we not only got $10 for the free products, we got even more because we were using coupons on top of it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a vegetarian, so for me it's the veggie and fruit section, but they never have coupons for the produce section in a grocery store.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can go in there with a free, you know, $10 worth of fruit.
Wow, nice. Okay, we like that.
Yeah, so use that to get that up to $100 per month. It won't take you much time at all each month to make $100 doing the mystery shopping. And what's great about the mystery shopping is there's a bunch of different things you can do. You don't just have to do grocery stores. You can do electronic stores. You can do convenience stores. You can do all kinds of things. You can find whichever one seems the most fun for you and do it.
Okay, but this kind of falls back to, you know, how do you find the right company that will actually pay you? And do they accept anybody? If I just applied and I want to be a mystery shopper, they're going to hire me. What are the requirements to be a mystery shopper?
Well, to be accepted, you do have to go through some very small tests. They don't just, it's not just, you know, sign your name and you're in. What they want to do, they check to make sure you first can read and speak English. So they give you a small test that involves some English comprehension, and then they want you to, some of them will ask you to write a small summary of your last experience. So what they want you to do is write this thing and say, hey, this is what they did right, this is what they did wrong, because they first want to make sure you're fair, and they want to make sure that you're going to write things that are valuable, that the company is going to like. If you write, I don't like the way that person looked at me, they're probably not going to like that very much. But if you
right.
leave constructive feedback for them, that's what they're looking for.
Okay. I have a friend who has done the mystery shopping, and I never asked him how, you know, what the requirements were. Are they looking for any age range as well, or do they only want the 21 to 38-year-olds?
That's a great thing about these is they'll take pretty much anyone unless you are doing there are some that do mystery shops for, you know, buying tobacco and buying alcohol. They want people, of course, of a certain age for that. But short of that, they're wide open. Most of them are wide open with age ranges and looks and gender. They don't care either direction.
Okay. Well, we have to take one more break. I know we're still sort of in month five, but when we come back, we'll finish that up and then go into the last 6 to 12 months of trying to get our $1,000 in 1 year of starting our savings account. So we'll be right back with Justin Cuffler. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if money affects your life in any way whatsoever, we're going to talk about it. And today we are talking about how you can get to your $1,000 emergency savings funds. That's a requirement for everybody out there, but you may be living hand to mouth right now. So I have Justin Kuppler. He is the editor at The Penny Hoarder, and we are definitely hoarding our pennies on this show. We are talking about how to open a checking account and get $5 for free. Now we're on to this mystery shopping. I think a lot of people have heard about that, but they've also heard that there's a lot of scams out there. You get on the internet and they're like, hey, be a shopper for me. And how do you know that's real?
Yeah, it's very hard to differentiate between the real ones and fake ones, because the fake ones are really good at drawing you in. The first tip I always have for finding the real ones is if they're asking you to pay any money whatsoever, run away, because these sites are not in the business of asking their mystery shoppers to pay them. They get that from the companies they're representing.
That is a good tip. And I think if you're desperate for money, sometimes you think, well, if I just invest this $15, it's okay because I'm going to get it back plus some. But like you're saying, if they ask you for any money, run. Click no.
Yeah.
Get out of that website.
Absolutely. Some of the ones that we've had great experience with, like I said, myself and our founder Kyle Taylor have done this. Kyle has worked for Bestmark, Sinclair Customer Metrics, MarketForce, IntelliShop, Experience Exchange. I've worked for TrendSource and had a great experience with them. So there's a handful there that your listeners can go out and search for, or they can just go find their own. Like I said, just make sure they're not asking you to pay a dime and they're not asking for any weird, unusual tests that you're not comfortable with. They're, of course, going to ask you for your English comprehension and things like that. But anything that just seems off, it's probably best to not apply for it.
I guess I understand what you're saying, it's off, but how would we know that that is an off question that they're asking or a test that they want us to do?
Something that would be off would be asking for relatives' names and numbers. Now, they may ask for references, but they start asking for names and numbers of relatives. If they start asking for, your salary, if they start asking for things like that, those are red flags that should make you turn away from that site.
Okay.
Like any employer, they're going to ask for basic things, your social security number, driver's license number, your address, and maybe references, but anything outside the normal scope of an employer, that's a red flag.
Okay, good to know. So that's month five. Is there anything else in month five that you recommend that we start doing to increase our savings account?
No, that's it. Just focus on that mystery shopping, maximize it as much as you can, and try to get that $100 tucked in your account that month.
So at the end of 5 months, how much do you estimate we're going to have in that emergency fund?
At the end of 5 months, you're going to have about $160 in that account.
And that is more than 10% of our goal, which that's nothing to sneeze at. I know, like you said, $160 doesn't sound like a lot, but when you say that's a little bit more than 10% of our final goal, that actually makes it feel a lot bigger.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to look at this in percentages because, the number may not seem big, but once you put that in percentage, it really shows what you're doing.
Now we're on to month six. Now what are we doing to get even more money into that account?
Now we're going to kind of set the cruise. We're going to set the cruise control at $100 each month from month 6 through 12. Now, you don't want to set cruise control on doing things because you still have to do a lot to keep that $100 extra coming in each and every month. So on top of everything else we've already talked about, you can look into things like selling some used books. If you're a college student, you have some used books laying around. Sell those things. Get them out of here. Just like the declutter, get them out of your house, out of your life. You're never going to look back at your anthropology textbook from last year. You're not going to look at that thing ever again. Get rid of it. Make some money for it. You can also try your hand at writing. Write some guest blog posts. If you're an expert in a certain field, if you know automotive, if you know physical fitness, things like that, maybe you throw some pitches out to some blogs. Write a couple blog posts and make some extra money on the side. You can also do this really cool thing from Nielsen. We've all heard of Nielsen, who does the television ratings, but they also do ratings for different things. They do what's called the Nielsen Home Scan, which is where you just go shopping for your groceries, and after you're done shopping, you just scan what you have shopped, and it basically gives the groceries almost like the ratings for television. This is how many people are buying these groceries, so the companies who are selling these items know how their products are doing. You can also sign up for Amazon's Mechanical Turk and make up to an additional like $50 a week. This Amazon Mechanical Turk allows you to do little odd jobs, transcribing a video, doing some user experience type of work, checking websites for flaws, things like that.
Oh, well.
And on that same note, you can use a site called User Feel to do the same thing with testing out sites. They want to know how a user actually uses their site. So you go onto their site, you find out where some of the flaws are, you click around on the site, and they'll pay you for doing this. You can make up to $200 a month doing that.
Oh, that's nice. The Amazon Mechanical Turk, I just want to go back to that just because, you know, a lot of people are Amazon Prime members. If you are an Amazon Prime member, does that help you to get into being an Amazon Mechanical Turk?
No, Mechanical Turk is open to anyone who wants to do it. That's a great thing about it. There's no real qualifications. You bid on jobs. You accept the job. They, of course, check your background to see if the job requires certain skills. They want to check on that. But for the most part, these are things that almost anybody can do.
We're doing that. We're getting maybe $100 to $200 more a month if we're doing the Amazon Mechanical Turk or the user. What was the other one? User?
Userfeel.com.
Userfeel. Okay.
Yeah.
F-E-E-L.
Yeah, F-E-E-L.
Okay, Userfeel. Okay, great. So what other things can we do in these months 6 through 12 to get our money?
That's about all we have here. You know, those are, you don't want to get too broad, but you don't want to go too crazy and try too many things. These are kind of the key core items that we suggest trying. But if something else pops up, if you find something online, by all means, give it a shot. But these are some of the core things that are quick and easy that just about anybody can do.
Let's say we're averaging $150 a month doing the User Feel or Amazon Mechanical Turk. At the end of 6 months, because we're 6 through 12, what does that give us? Another $900 almost?
Yeah, if you do it through months 6 through 12, you are, I calculate that out at 100 just to keep it conservative.
Oh, okay, so that's 600. So that'd be 600 plus the 160 we started with. So we're at $760 at the end of a year. And if you just put another few months after that into it, within, you know, 16 months, you are, or even less, you should be at your $1,000 goal that you can use for emergencies, for those, you know, the new set of tires you may have to get. Maybe it wasn't an emergency where you had to have an operation or anything like that, but you could have been sick for a while and maybe out of work and you missed some paychecks. You could draw on that $1,000. But then once you're feeling better, you get back, you got to, you know, start putting the money back into that $1,000 emergency fund. So these are all great ways. Is there anything else you can recommend to people to do to tighten their belts or jobs that they can do to get the money?
One thing that wasn't calculated into this was that we kind of glazed over that I want to go back to is when you do the smart panel, which is on month 4, we also have another $15, $30 coming in from that. So that's going to put you up over $800 at the end of your 12 months.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're even closer to it at that point.
Great. Okay. Now, and where is it that people can go to find all of these tips from you and from the Penny Hoarder?
Then go to thepennyhoarder.com.
Month-to-month guide to saving $1,000?
Exactly.
Okay. So if people are looking, they want this information, they'd go to pennyhoarder.com, look for a month-to-month guide to saving $1,000 and helping you end that paycheck lifestyle. So I just want to thank you again so much, Justin Kuppler, for giving our listeners different ways that they can get to this goal, because it's really important for people in this day and age.
Actually, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's H-K-E-L-L-Y at ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.